Hello and welcome to the Better Off Out podcast. Now this month, Better Off Out are running a campaign focusing on the disastrous common fisheries policy of the European Union. And so for the second week, we're looking at the damage being done to Britain's marine environment and to our fishing industry. We also explain how the situation would be improved if we left the European Union and regained control over our coastal and territorial waters. So for this podcast, I travelled down to Cornwall to speak to those who are working in fishing and related industries. And in places you can hear some singing, that's some of the local boys from the Newquay Rowing Club. And this week we're starting with a little piece about the Spanish subsidies scandal. I should explain, this was recorded on the quayside at Penzance Fishing Harbour, so apologies for the little bit of background noise in places.
So let's hear it for glory.
Well, I've come to Penzance in Cornwall to launch the Better Off Out Save Britain's Fish campaign. Here's an information booklet that we've produced about the European Union's common fisheries policy and the damage that it's doing to our marine environment and to our fishing industry. And I just wanted to highlight one particular aspect of this, and this is the subsidies which the European Union is paying out, though largely, of course, not to British fishermen. So, for instance, Spain is set to receive 1.1 billion euros in subsidies between now and 2020, while Britain will receive only 240 million. Now, in itself, that puts the British fishermen at a disadvantage. But the damage which these subsidies do to the marine environment is really absolutely appalling. Because of the subsidies, the fishing boats are able to go out and to fish in areas which are basically not economically viable. They're small fishing grounds, they're fishing grounds where there aren't many fish. And ordinarily, if this was left up to the fishermen, they'd leave them alone, and the fish there and the marine environment would remain absolutely untouched. But because of the subsidies, both the direct subsidies, which I've highlighted here, and also other subsidies that are given to cheap fuel, to improving harbours and so on, particularly, again, the Spanish are guilty of this, that does make it economically viable to go and fish in these vulnerable areas and to do untold damage to the marine environment, which is quite appalling. But the sheer scale of what's going on, I think, is best illustrated by another example that we highlight in our book. In the year 2001, a Spanish trawler by the name of Hodeza was found fishing in British waters using illegal fishing gear with a fishing mesh so small it was taking fish that were illegally small to be taken away and to be processed. That, of course, was doing a lot of damage to the fishing stocks. The ship was impounded, it was brought ashore, and the owners of the ship were fined 35,000 euros for that infringement of the rules. And yet, very shortly afterwards, the European Union Common Fisheries Policy gave that same company a subsidy of nearly 2 million euros. And the difference between the fine of 35,000 and the subsidy of 2 million makes basically a laughing stock of the rules. The fishermen can go on, they know that they're going to be subsidised, they're not bothered about the fines, they can carry on using illegal fishing gear and doing enormous damage to the fishing stocks and to British fishing industry. So it's the subsidies that the Common Fisheries Policy is handing out, primarily to the big Spanish ships, is not only doing damage to British fishermen, who are disadvantaged because their competitors are being subsidised, but also doing huge damage to our marine environment. But if we were to leave the European Union, we would no longer be part of the Common Fisheries Policy. We could protect our marine environment, we could protect the vulnerable fishing grounds, and we could protect our own fishing fleet and see a boost there. So, as far as I'm concerned, really, this is just another example why we should vote to leave.
Okay, then we move on to Newlyn, where we had an interview with Dave Hicks, a local fisherman. And again, we were talking at the harbour side, so there is a little bit of background noise, and again, apologies for that.
Here in Newlyn, I'm talking to Dave Hicks, who was a fisherman until just a couple of years ago. But if I remember correctly, didn't you have something to do with that Canadian flag protest about 10, 15 years ago?
20 years ago. 1995. And it was basically a protest against the Spanish. and we just basically sided with the Canadians.
So what was the problem between the Canadians and Spanish?
The Canadians had arrested a Spanish trawler for illegal fishing, which is no surprise there, and the European Commission wanted to bring sanctions against Canada, and they needed a unanimous vote.
Yeah.
John Major was sitting on the fence, and we thought, well, we'll give him a little push on our side. So we all flew the Canadian flag, and the whole British fleet did it as a protest against the EU. And the protest went on for months, and it highlighted all the damaging aspects of the common fisheries policy, because the media spotlight was on the Spanish and the French and everything else, decimating our waters, and waters all over the world, not just in British waters, they're decimating African waters. And the European Commission has played a part in that, and in buying up fish licenses so the Spanish trawlers can plunder waters down there as well as our waters here. And the common fisheries is not just an economic disaster for Britain's fishermen, it's an environmental disaster. And not just in Europe, it's spreading globally, where you've got plundering fish fleets or decimating fish stocks, and they're unregulated because they get away with blue murder. Over in Spain, they turn a blind eye to it. And the same in many other countries. Only in Britain do we have bureaucrats that will clamp down at the slightest infraction. If you have a few boxes of cod too many, they will hammer you and take you to court and fine you massive sums of money.
Okay, so what effect has the European Union's common fisheries policy had here in Newlyn?
Well, this place has gone from boomtown to gloomtown in 30 years. This place used to be really big money. There was a lot of money being made here and other fishing ports throughout Britain. And that money is virtually vanished. Now people are struggling, they have to buy quotas, they're driven to bankruptcy by the bureaucracy. It is strangling the whole industry. And we have to get rid of this European nonsense and recover sovereignty of our waters so that it can be managed properly by the British government. And to a certain degree by the fishing industry itself.
Right, so obviously better off out. We're campaigning to take Britain out of the European Union. We want people to vote leave at the referendum we're going to be having. Is that something you'd be supporting?
Most certainly, because what's happening to the fishing industry, I said this on television 20 years ago, what is happening to the fishing industry will happen to other industries throughout the country.
Yeah.
We are being strangled by this bureaucratic monster. We cannot get away from it while we have a pro-European government in power. We have to recover our sovereignty, we have to leave the EU. We have to do this, otherwise we're just going to be a region, a semi-autonomous region of Europe.
And hopefully, everyone does vote to leave and we get out of the European Union, what would you want to see a newly independent British government doing for the fishing industry?
Well, some sensible legislation for starters, and money in our pockets. Well, that's the be all and end all, which applies to so many industries, not just fish industry. It's more money in our pockets, more wages, better control of everything, and sensible regulation, not this stupid nonsense we're getting from Brussels.
So we'd be able to have a fishing policy adapted for Britain and
for British fishermen, for the industry that goes with it. See, it's not just fishing industry, it's every other industry that goes with it. You've got chandlers, engineers, shipwrights, drivers, processors, factories. For every job at sea, there's four or five jobs that rely on those jobs.
Brilliant.
So we've got to have a healthy fishing industry, which, if we're free from the European nonsense, that industry could expand and double its production in a very short space of time. We could be talking about an industry worth billions of pounds, which means lots of more jobs around here where we need them. And we need to recover it back. I mean, this place is a ghost town compared to what it used to be.
Right.
It is a ghost town.
Well, hopefully if we vote to leave the European Union, good times will come back to Newlyn.
And Newlyn and every other fishing port in Britain. And not just the fishing industry, it's the farmers, the engineers, the manufacturers. Every industry will benefit. The only people that are in favour of the European Union is the big business who have the lobbying power with the Commission.
That's true.
Your small and medium businesses, whether it's fish or farming or any other industry, they are getting clobbered with regulation. Whereas the big business, they very friendly, they can work with the European Commission. So for 1% of the population to do well out of it, the other 99% is going to suffer. That's why we need the European Union.
Absolutely right. Thank you.
after chatting to Dave about the situation in Newlyn, I thought it'd be nice to do a roundup on the general picture of the decline of the UK fishing industry under the European Union's Common Fisheries Policy.
Well, we're back down at Penzance Fishing Harbour. We've been up to Newquay to meet fishermen there, over to Newlyn, met some people there as well. And the overwhelming message that's coming across is that the European Union's Common Fisheries Policy has been an absolute disaster, not only for the fishing industry here in Britain, but also for the fish, for the wildlife in the sea, and generally for the marine environment. But at this point, I just wanted to touch on one other little bit from our booklet that we've produced about the fishing industry. And that is, I'll read this section out, so I found it really quite interesting. It's to do with the subsidies. Now, Britain pays in vast amounts of money to the Common Fisheries Policy, and the most of that money is paid out again to the Spanish, to the Portuguese, to the French. Britain only gets a very small amount back in, and the Spanish in particular, but also other countries, are giving national money in subsidy to improve dock facilities such as we see here at Penzance. And Dr. Lee Rotherham, who's a very noted economist, had this to say. British boat owners have not been able or inclined to reinvest in their platforms, while foreign ship owners are subsidised through the Common Fisheries Policy. So comparatively, the British fleet has become on average older, smaller and less powerful in terms of engine capacity than its competitors. This is a vicious circle, as the larger and more souped up foreign vessels have a larger claim on national catch shares when the Common Fisheries Policy is bartered out, because they can catch more and hold more in a shorter time. Hence the UK's share of overall catch has dwindled by default. And the devastation visited on the fishing industry really is quite impressive. According to the official figures, in 1994 there were 10,295 fishing boats operating out of British ports. By 2012 there were just 6,400, and the number of fishermen employed at sea has gone from 20,751 down to just 12,000. And it's not just, of course, the fishermen that are losing their jobs. People on shore are losing their jobs as well. The people who maintain ships, the chandlers that provide shipping equipment, the food processors who handle the fish when they come ashore. We were in Newlyn yesterday, and the crab pickers there, with the catches falling, with the number of boats operating out of Newlyn going down, those jobs are disappearing as well. And really, when we look at the overall costs to Britain of the Common Fisheries Policy, not only in terms of how much cash we actually pay in, but in terms of the lost jobs, the lost economic activity, and generally the damage being done to British coastal communities, it all comes out an absolutely whopping £2.8 billion, and that's every year. So if we were to leave the European Union, if we were to regain control of our fishing policies, and we were able to return them using sensible policies back to where they had been, with sustainable catch levels, with healthy fishing stocks, with an improved marine environment, and with more jobs in the fishing industry and on shore, we would be saving ourselves £2.8 billion a year. That's a real lot of money, and that's something to consider when deciding whether or not to vote to leave the European Union. I'm going to vote to leave.
And finally, we went up to Newquay, where Ray Finch, MEP, the fishery spokesman for the UK Independence Party, was holding a public meeting where he could talk to fishermen and other people involved in the fishing trade in the Newquay area. So I just sort of barged my way in. Anyway, there's several things going on, but you listen and explain as we go along.
Right, we've arrived at Newquay Rowing Club. Ray Finch, the Member of European Parliament and UKIP's spokesman on fisheries, is about to give a short talk to a group of fishermen here who operate smaller 10-metre boats, and then he's going to be taking questions. They're going to have a big meeting, talk about problems affecting fisheries on the North Cornwall coast. I imagine most of the problems are caused by the European Union, but I suppose we'll find out when we get in there. Also, Sanjay Kumar is cooking us, very kindly cooking us a meal using local produce, and he's very keen on the use of local produce and widening the range of fish that are used here in Cornwall and in England. Just behind me you can see it's a picture of Newquay Harbour back in the day. Obviously it's changed a bit since then. But I think there I think we're just about getting started, so I'm going to now pop in and listen to Ray, see what he's got going for him.
We're a very proud nation in Cornwall, and our heritage and our history is built on fishing, mining and farming. And fishing is one of the most important things of this county. So I wish you luck in what you do. Keep safe, boys. And listen to what Ray says, and enjoy the evening. Thank you, Ray.
Thanks very much, Ray. Cheers. Evening, everyone.
Evening.
Right. What you normally get, I don't know how many of you have been to political meetings before, you normally get some politician or politicians turn up, tell you everything that's wrong with what you're doing and how they know how to fix it. I'm not like that. I'm just a bloke. I go out and do a bit of sea angling now and then, but I'm interested in what fishing means to our country. It's what we grew up on. It's what made our nation. And the fact is, it was stolen from us. There's no other word for it. It was stolen from us. The original agreements for the Common Fisheries Policy, the first meeting was held 6 hours before our accession talks to the common market. It was made as a resource grab, and that's what it's been ever since. The only way that we will get it back is if we get our country back, because then we can control what happens. We leave the European Union, we leave the Common Fisheries Policy, we make our own decisions about our own lives. The fact is that what we have to do once we leave, you know, our policy, for those of you who don't know, is we will immediately enforce a 200-mile exclusive economic zone, which the UN Law of the Sea gives to every nation as of their right. And then we decide, as a nation, and as fishermen as well, because what we're going to do, if our plans come to fruition, is we will make sure that every individual local region is not dictated to by Westminster as it's dictated to by Brussels now. You will have your own say. There'll be local boards where fishermen of all sizes, sub 10 metres, the big lads, and even, I know some of you may not like it, but even the anglers will have a say. So it's about democracy, and it's about the fact is that you know best what's out there. You know best what's available to catch. You know best what you shouldn't catch. So all we want is for you to have your say and to be able to make this work as a benefit and a resource, not just for you, but for the entire country. And it's going to be things like, we're going to, any licenses we sell to foreign fishermen, if we sell them, all of that money under our manifesto will go to harbours and stuff. It will be about giving money towards apprenticeships. It will be making sure the harbours have decent slips and so on. Because I was up in North Shields, which is bloody cold, I'll tell you if you think this is cold, a little while back. And the lad there, he does all their engineering work on the boats. He told me, he said, I've got a bit of land up there. I want to build a new slip on it so I can look after these boats properly, because the one he's had was built in the 40s or something. And he went to the local council and he said, no, you're not doing it, because we're keeping all this for retirement housing. So their plan is just to close it down. We shouldn't let that happen. Every job out at sea brings 10 jobs on land. And it's not about just you lads out there. It's about everyone who's back here, who lives off your produce, and who gains work and gains a livelihood from the stuff that you do. So I don't know what's going on here in Cornwall any more than I know anywhere else, because everyone has different issues, because they're all different fisheries to an extent. You all have different problems. So I'm not here to give you a big lecture. What I'm here to do is to answer any questions you have as best I can, and to take on board what you say, and everything you say, you know, I'll use to get myself better informed so I can be of more use to you. So I'm going to stop now, and you lot, anyone, any questions, anything you want to say, you know, if you want to run me outside and throw me overboard, fair play. But it's your meeting more than it is mine, because how many of you have met George Eustace? No? Yeah? Yeah. Yeah. The way he works is a trifle different, isn't it?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
He's a farmer.
That's right.
And that was very eminent at the meeting that we went to.
Yeah. I, as I say, I don't know what you boys know. I want to learn what you know so that I can be at least of some use. I'm on the Fisheries Committee in the European Parliament now. Hopefully it won't be for long. Hopefully we'll be free. But I can ask questions. I can put in written questions for it. And I can, and if I know, if I learn from you, then I can do more and I can be more effective. So it's up to you chaps and ladies. First question, anyone say?
If you're going to start, the big problem is quota and the amount we've got of it.
Yeah. You sub 10 metres, suppose?
Yeah, I'm 10, yeah. We're very, very hard hit on Ray at the moment. Yeah. Our quota is 3 years ago was an average of about 10 tonne a month.
Yeah.
10, 11, 12 tonne some yep. months. 2 years ago, that dropped to 3 tonne. This previous year that we've just finished, we was a tonne and a half, which when you put that into money value, you're talking £2,500 per tonne.
Not enough.
To run a boat with two crew.
Yeah.
We've got
all your diesel, all your maintenance.
Well, yeah, but it's not just the rig. We've been told 2 days ago now that at the last meeting, I think it was in Brussels, wasn't it?
December.
It was sprung on our fisheries minister, like the CFPO down in Newlyn, that they're now, after giving us major quota reductions on the ray, are going to put a total ban on one of the species.
Small eyes ray.
The issue was, it wasn't actually even discussed in Brussels.
It wasn't
discussed.
The effect wasn't sort
it
of.
It just came out, council
didn't end about two or three days ago, that blanket.
Yeah.
That's it.
Which, yep. Within three mile of the land, anywhere on the coast, throughout at least the north coast, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's a 90% of
there's
the
plenty
rain.
There.
Yeah.
Plenty
there's
there.
Plenty of fish in the sea.
We was fishing 4 or 5 days in July and August, and then we tried a few different things, but there's not a lot else in season. We're in such a mixed fishery.
Yeah.
That to be stopped fishing for ray stops me fishing the ground that I can catch half a ton of lobsters a week.
Yep.
Couple 300 kilo of monk a week. You've got a few turbot.
Yep.
So in general, that ground is really, really healthy. But what I don't seem to understand is by stopping you catching one species, you basically can't.
You can't go for any because
25 boxes a day being thrown back over the side,
yep.
Which is all dead. Or 90%, 80% mortality rate or something. So you're still hauling
yeah.
it. You can't keep out of the way of it. In the end, for 2 months, in our prime months where we should have turned over £50,000, we
yeah.
struggled to do 25 for the 2 months.
Jeez.
So that's 50% cut due to
yeah.
being able just to catch ray.
I know I should know this because I'm on the Fisheries Committee, but they haven't told me why. Has anyone heard why?
This is all to do with Guernsey. There's one boat in Guernsey that fishes on the non-sector quota of the under 10.
Oh, right, yeah.
And he's been basically 10 tonne with big boat, in and out,
yeah.
on some loophole from this is over in Guernsey.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
The last quota meeting I attended in October,
yeah.
Steve Eglantine and that from DEFRA and that was all
yep.
there. Sorry, I forgot where I was going now.
Guernsey.
Oh yeah, the Guernsey.
Guernsey
right. Basically, they stopped the Guernsey boat fishing because they could see the damage it was taking out of the under 10 metre pool.
Yeah.
And their exact words at the meeting was through other sort of relations between us and Guernsey and dealings.
Yep.
It was throwing a big spanner in the works, and they basically turned back round to them and said, we'll retract what we put in, let your bloke carry on fishing, and it's still going on now until something can be sorted out. And this is what a lot of them at one boat
yeah.
is making a hell of a chunk in what little quota we're getting.
Crazy.
And this is meant to be an ongoing thing that's going to
yeah.
be sorted out, but this has been going on. Well, it brought up at a quota meeting 6 months ago, but how long it's been going on before that? It's years and years and years before they've actually picked
yeah.
up on it.
Well, this is one of the things. As I said before, it's got to be locally based the information's got to be locally based. You know, you're the ones who can turn around and say, this is what we need here. This is what we need. North Cornwall, we need this.
Right, Sanjay, Ray Finch is in there talking to the fishermen. They're going great guns about, talking about the problems here on the North Cornwall coast, caused by European Union rules.
Yeah.
You're very kind. You're cooking us a meal. It smells delicious. What are you doing?
Well, this is a chowder, a Newquay fish chowder. So one of the, to put it into context with what's going on, a lot of good spider crab, which is landed in Newquay, is never seen in Newquay on the fishing stalls. People don't appreciate it or don't even know what it is all about.
Okay.
So my idea is to keep it local, we need to appreciate our seafood and fish more. As compared to being landed here, spider crabs are sent or bought in tons and tons by the Spanish because they love it.
Okay.
So my idea is if we can introduce new dishes, I'm making a simple chowder with mussels, some spider crab meat and some haddock, and we're going to give people that taster to show that what we land is precious and can be used really well in making some lovely dishes.
Okay, well, it certainly smells absolutely absolutely wonderful. So the spider crabs that they're catching here aren't being eaten here at all?
No,
being shipped to?
No, not at all. So last year during during Newquay Fish Festival, I invited the mayor, the then mayor of Newquay, to come and cook with me, and we landed some spider crab, and we smashed it, and then we turned it into a crab on toast.
He
definitely said that it is much more sweeter and nicer to eat than a normal shore crab or a cock crab. So that shows that you can actually appreciate, even if it is a bit fiddly to work with, when you really get into the detail of it and make it an occasion, a spider crab is really good. And that's just an example of how, if we start appreciating what is landed locally more, where it is landed, it is better to eat fresher food here than when it is being appreciated by someone else.
Fantastic. All right, well, I'll let you get back to the cooking.
Thank you.
Well, you're still going
yes,
in
yes,
there.
Yes.
But I'll check up. I'm looking forward to trying some of that a little
it
bit.
It will be
later.
A pleasure to serve you. Thank
lovely.
You.
Thank you.
Newquay spider crab, mussels, and bacon chowder.
Oh, fabulous. Thank you.
I think you need that after 2 hours.
Well, politicians never get tired of talking, but you can always do it with a bit of a snack.
I guess.
Do you know what? That's delicious.
Thank you, sir. I guess you need to teach talking to my 2-year-old daughter.
That's fair enough. Do you mind if I talk into this?
Of course. You deserve it, sir.
Thank you very much, sir.
Right, well, that's just about wrapped up here at the Newquay Rowing Club. Ray was speaking for over 2 hours and taking questions, having conversation with the fishermen here. Apparently, it's actually been a good day for fishing, so a lot of the boats are out. So we just had a small number of fishermen here. Very lively discussion. I thought Ray handled it well, but something came over really clearly is all the problems are being caused to the fishing industry by the common fisheries policies, by the European Union, by the fact that the European Union just does not listen to local fishermen about what conditions are like here, which fish are in decline and which fish are booming, and that the quota system bears very little relation to reality to what's happening here on the North Cornwall coast and the sort of fishing going on there. Sanjay did us absolutely proud with his chowder, absolutely delicious. So it's getting late, that about wraps it up.
So let's hear it for Joby, Meg's army never died. Let's hear it for Drennan with a change in sleep in mind. Let's hear it for farmers and for fishermen, let's hear it for the miners, glory hope will mine again. Now when you cross the Tamar into this promised land, there's one thing to remember, one thing to understand, that Cornwall's not a county, just sunny in the west, but Cornwall is our country, the land we love the best. So let's cheering for Trinity, with his engine screaming high. Let's hear it for the fathers and for the chairmen. Let's hear it for the miners, who we hope will mine again.
General Biz, begin.
Well, that about wraps it up for this week. Don't forget you can learn more about Better Off Out and about our Save Britain's Fish campaign on our website, which is www.betteroffout.net. And, of course, Better Off Out is on Facebook and Twitter, and we've got our own YouTube channel as well. So, as well as this podcast, see where you can find us elsewhere.